Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode in the Matter Cause. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's show is entitled Marriage is a Living Organism Created by Yahweh Elohim. I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 3 this morning for our study, but before that, I'd like to read to you from a book by Dr. Don Colbert, MD, entitled Daily Emotions. Subtitle, Understand the Mind-Body-Spirit Connection That Can Heal or Destroy You. And in one section of this book, he writes, if you are married, they married. Quote, the National Opinion Research Center surveyed 35,000 Americans over a 30-year period and found that 40% of married individuals said they were very happy. Only 24% of unmarried, divorced, separated, or widowed people said they were happy or very happy. Marriage, more than jobs or finances, is associated with happiness. Marriage is actually one of the strongest predictors of happiness. Married individuals have the least amount of depression, followed by those who have never married, followed by those divorced only once, followed by people living with one another apart from marriage vows, followed by people who have been divorced twice or more than twice. He goes on, why do I share this information with you? Because as the national divorce rate has increased and marriage has declined in our society, the amount of depression has increased. It certainly would be foolish to suggest that all marriages produce happiness. They don't. On the other hand, those who are in happy, good marriages, usually state that there's nothing better in life. Unquote. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing Tov and Ra, or good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, or the Adam, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, or in fear, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" A direct question is addressed to the Adam, and Yahweh Elohim receives an indirect and convoluted response. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." Listen very carefully to the language. "He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To the Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed." And here the biblical word means the direct opposite of blessing. The word blessing in Hebrew is the word barakah or barak. And it literally means to bow the knee. Remember, Old Testament words and word pictures are concrete. So the word picture behind Barak or Baraka is that of the camel, bowing down in order for its rider to dismount. So it needs to bow the knee. Cursed is the ground because of you. So the Adam the root of his name, or the Hebrew word for blood, means for blood is Dam, and we have here Adam. And the Adam was taken from the Adama, that is the ground. And so we see the unity of relationship. We see the unity of being between Adam and Adama. We see the powerful spiritual significance. We see the intrinsic relationship that the Adam has with the Adama, or the ground. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the Adama. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Chava, and we do not find the word or pronoun Eve in the Hebrew Old Testament. Adam named his wife Chava because she would become the mother of all living things. I want you to know very carefully that the Adam and his wife were both created by Yahweh Elohim. It is the Lord God who made the woman, or who built the woman. In chapter 2, verse 22 of Genesis, we read that then the Lord God built the woman from the tissue sample he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And so the Hebrew word built gives to us a picture of intricacy, of fineness, of complexity. And so she is this very wonderful being. She is the womb man. And the Lord God brought her to the Adam. Verse 23, the Adam said, this is now, or so we read, bone of my bone. And notice the relationship when that the Adam speaks of, when he speaks of the womb man. This is our bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And so the Lord God brought her to the Adam, and this new creation, this new living relationship has come into being. That the Adam did not have before. You read at the end of verse 20, but for Adam no suitable helper was found. And in the Hebrew, the word helper means to surround, or one who would surround his heart. But the Creator provided this one for him. Verse 24 of chapter 2, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, never in the plural, his wives. And they will become ehad, one flesh. They will become one flesh. Deuteronomy 6:4, Shema, or hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. What? One flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. They were one. There is given to us the understanding of both intimacy and transparency. Intimacy and transparency, which God created for these two to enjoy as part of his creative work and as part of his wonderful gift. In chapter 3 of Genesis, this new and living being called marriage. And I know in our day, marriage is called an institution, or we say traditional marriage, and it is also a legal entity. But note in the book of Genesis that marriage is a living organism created by Yahweh Elohim. And this living organism is tested in Genesis 3. Genesis 3:1, we read, now the serpent. In the Hebrew, the word is nakash. Now the nakash, which a word which means the shining one. The shining one. Not snake. That is not what we have in the original text. And please note that the biblical documents never state that the woman took an apple and gave it to her husband. We read that she took fruit. We must carefully observe the wording of Scripture. Here is an attack by the Nakash upon the first home. Here is an attack by the Nakash upon marriage as a living organism. It is a direct attack against this wonderful living organism that God has created. The word nakash, here in the text, and that has been transliterated as serpent, means to observe attentively. To observe attentively. It also means brass or brazen, and it means serpent. And in Revelation 12, we are given the list of names associated with the devil. or diabolos, whose name means one who divides or one who divides people for no reason. Listen to some of the names, or listen to this list of names in Revelation 12, beginning at verse 9. Well, let me start with verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought at his angels. And so, in verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon, or Drakon, D-R-A-K-O-N in Greek, and the great Drakon was cast out. That old serpent, the office, that is the serpent, called the Diabolos, and Satanas, that is one who opposes. Notice, which deceiveth the whole world. Which deceiveth the whole world. He also has another name that John records for us in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, this name that is given to the devil or Satan in verse 10, here he's called the accuser, and which means to speak openly again, that is to slander. He is called the ho kategoros. And this name, the accuser in the English, or ho kategoros, not only means to speak openly against, but it also means to impeach in a legal sense. To impeach in a legal sense. I want to give you some background in understanding this term, serpent. This attack is very strategic. It is planned. It is well planned. And Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the methodias, or the methods of the devil, and in the way the methodologies that he uses to attack believing ones. The Nakash is highly skillful and as the sharp-seeing one, that is, the one who observes attentively, he knows exactly how he is going to use words in a manipulative manner in order to seduce the woman. Now notice, he is the devil, the one who divides for no reason. He is the Satan, the great opposer. And he is the ho kategoros, the one who knows how to impeach in a legal sense. she will not realize the magnitude. She will not understand the strategy that will be used against her. But she knows precisely. Now the serpent was more crafty. Than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now, at the end of chapter 2, verse 25, we read, they felt no shame. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. In chapter 3, verse 1, we read, now the Nakash was more crafty. And what is very interesting about the word shame and crafty is that in the Hebrew, these two words are practically the same. These two words are practically the same. You know the narrative, you know what happened. You know that she was thoroughly deceived. You know that the temptation was to act independently of God. You know also that they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the end of innocence and the birth of conscience. And conscience is the accusing witness of our behavior. You and I note the verbs take and eat in this narrative are both verbs of death. And what is wonderful for us is that Jesus, in the upper room, will use the verbs take and eat in Mark 14:22, and there they are verbs of life. Once again, in this narrative, the verbs take and eat are verbs of death, but in Mark 14:22, take and eat are verbs of life. The Lord our God came to give himself as a ransom for many. He came to give himself that we might share in his chesed, his covenant love. We have the blessed privilege of having a living relationship with the living God. Allow God to control your marriage. Allow God to show you the power of that threefold cord unbroken. Give your marriage to the Lord. I'm speaking to the man, to the husband. Wives, give your marriage to the Lord. Come together with husband and wife in humility. And give your marriage, that wonderful marriage, that wonderful living organism that you share together. Give your marriage to the Lord God. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.